A chance of rain. Chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon tomorrow. Warmer, the high up to 75 degrees. Breezy, winds up to 30 miles an hour. There's a 40% chance of showers. Showers and thunderstorms expected tomorrow night with a low around 65 degrees. An 80% chance of showers and winds up to 20 miles an hour. Windy on Sunday. Showers, thunderstorms are likely in the morning. A chance of rain in the afternoon. The high around 72 degrees. Temperatures falling to the 60s in the afternoon, winds up to 35 miles an hour. Cooler Sunday night, partly cloudy, the low around 45. Sunny skies Monday with a high of 65. Right now at Bloomington, we have 54 degrees. Danville, 54, 56 in Decatur. And on Friends Plaza in Urbana, 56 degrees.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners. AgriGold Hybrids, Muhammad, Charles M. Hundley, Champaign, Michael Walker Consulting, Urbana, and Bates Commodities, Normal. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
More than 15% of Champaign County households make less than $10,000 a year, according to new estimates by the Census Bureau released last month. This is a slight increase over 2010, yet the mean annual income in the area remains near $60,000. For the lowest income households, covering expenses has become a problem. Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access has the last of three reports.
Robin Arbiter is a longtime resident of the Learman neighborhood, a low-income area near the corner of Washington and Learman streets. She's an at-home activist and artist, and this summer helped launch a community garden. Arbiter says the neighborhood, noted in the media for crime and dilapidated housing, is a good-hearted one.
The fact is, I've seen greater and more generosity in this neighborhood than in almost any place I've lived. I mean, people see what's happening, and they will be there for you if they can be.
Most of the residents are much like Arbiter, low income or extremely low income. And the economy these days has not made living on less than $1,000 a month any easier. Arbiter receives federal Social Security disability benefits and then receives assistance for food and housing.
And people cobble an economic blanket together made of what their income is and what the benefits and what benefits they can receive. But the cost of living increases to Social Security are tied to the price of gas. And there are other things that go up in cost that are not necessarily affected by gas.
Food prices have risen, and the cost impacts lower-income residents as they aim to balance food and energy bills. The unemployment rate has pushed more families to seek help. Darlene Kleppel of the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission says that 10% of the clients the agency serves are new. The agency provides assistance with power bills, weatherization programs, and senior services, in total administering about 40 grants a year.
Other things are suffering because the total family budget can only accommodate so many things. And so when housing becomes a big issue, but then once housing is dealt with in perhaps medication or perhaps childcare or perhaps something else, but transportation might become issues because there's only so much money to go around.
Other agencies are seeing an increase in requests for help as well. Carol Elliott, supervisor of Cunningham Township, says that their programs do not typically see an impact from economic recessions until much later.
That's probably because the people that are working and then laid off are able to get unemployment benefits. And then when those finally run out is when we see an increase in benefits, or more of an increase in a request for benefits when they've exhausted all of the unemployment.
The township offers general assistance for those who cannot get help anywhere else, and the amounts are limited to an average of $243 a month. The township will also pay for prescriptions. Arbiter says that what is worrisome now is the threat of homelessness for many of her neighbors and those who are locked into what she calls the bubble of poverty. Down the street from Arbiter's apartment is a large privately owned complex that served low-income families. Yet the property is now foreclosed and faces demolition. All of the residents there had to find another place to live.
All it takes is someone higher up the food chain than you, like these owners of these apartment complexes, to go bankrupt. Or, you know, and then you have 94 empty units over there now. Where'd those families go?
Like Arbiter, many social service providers believe that changes are needed in the way assistance is given to better help families gain financial stability. For Illinois Public Media, I'm Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access.
The story was funded by the Marguerite Casey Foundation. For more information on this story, visit cu-citizenaccess.org. Federal health authorities say the number of people infected with meningitis has risen again. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now says 14 people have died and 170 people have been infected. Thousands of people received the infected steroid shots and are awaiting news whether they will develop meningitis. Blake Farmer of member station WPON has an update.
At Vanderbilt University Medical Center, potential fungal meningitis cases get bumped to the front of the line.
Dr. Phillip, Dr. Baker, we cardiology on line 3.
Dr. Corey Slovis heads the emergency room and says some have symptoms, some don't.
And we've actually had a few people that have had no steroid injection come requesting a spinal tap because they're worried about having gotten it from another patient, which is impossible.
A spinal tap is the sure way doctors can diagnose fungal meningitis, but the CDC recommends the invasive tests only for people who've had the tainted injections and are showing symptoms. Vanderbilt's Slovis says the side effects of a lumbar puncture, or LP, could get confused for the illness.
A post-LP headache makes one feel very, very similar or exactly the same as someone who might have meningitis. As you stand up, you start to feel dizzy, you're having trouble concentrating, you have this intense pulsating pain.
Health officials say they also don't want to overwhelm hospitals with unnecessary procedures. Greg Klucker is trying to follow doctors' orders and stay away from the ER. He got his injections in August. Originally, health officials thought people were out of the woods after 4 weeks. Now they say symptoms might take months to show up, so he's back in panic mode.
I've stayed up at night, getting on the internet, researching everything, learn what I can about this. Problem is, you know, you wake up one morning, you got a headache, then you start checking for other symptoms.
Klucker has reason for concern. Nearly a third of the cases in the country are traced back to the same Nashville clinic where he got his injections. Almost half of the deaths are attributed to the site, which received tainted steroid doses from a Massachusetts pharmacy company.
Anytime you have a procedure done, there's a risk involved. I understand that. But I didn't think the risk was going to involve possibly getting meningitis.
Klucker says he'd love to have the peace of mind that would come from a negative test. The waiting can be unbearable.
You think, tomorrow I'm going to wake up with this horrible headache and, you know, not be able to walk or something.
Becky Adams of Mount Juliet, Tennessee, says she worked herself into a tizzy, thinking of the debilitating illness, but she almost feared the treatment more. She read about the horrible side effects of the antifungal regimen. That's one reason people who were exposed aren't automatically put on drugs. But on Tuesday, Adams talked herself into a trip to the ER. She found herself surrounded by a dozen others waiting on a spinal tap. And in 45 minutes, she had preliminary results.
I know that they had to send them off to the CDC and that they would culture them and look for growth over a couple of weeks. I'm not worried about it. You know, at this point, my headache is gone, magically.
Adams had been keeping her potential exposure to herself. In fact, we met at a coffee shop instead of her house because she still hadn't told her 3 kids.
You didn't want to worry anybody with this.
Mm-mm. I knew that others would be, family in particular, would probably go nuts.
While Adams feels relieved, physicians say the fungus could still show up later. They just don't know much about it. CDC officials say they're charting new territory in public health. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
And again, an update to that story. A health official in Indiana says the confirmed cases of fungal meningitis there now have risen to 24. This was reported after the family of an 89-year-old Southern Michigan woman said yesterday they believe she died from the disease after receiving 2 injections of the tainted drug at a northern Indiana clinic. Indiana's 24 cases involve patients at 6 facilities that received a steroid recalled by the Massachusetts Specialty Pharmacy. Those clinics are in Elkhart, Evansville, Fort Wayne, South Bend, Terre Haute, and Columbus.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Friends of WILL and by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store. Strawberry Fields offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, and pet foods. Strawberry Fields on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 12th of October, 2012. The great tradition of Oktoberfest goes back to this day in 1810, when the Crown Prince of Bavaria, Ludwig, was getting married to Princess Therese of Saxony. They wanted to invite the entire city of Munich along to celebrate. There was horse racing, and there was lots and lots of beer. And the Bavarians had such a good time, they decided to hold the same party the next year, and then again and again and again. These days, Oktoberfest starts in late September and goes for about 2 weeks. It's the birthday of the author and psychologist Robert Coles, born in Boston, 1929, author of more than 60 books. He was in the South at the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. He was planning to be a child psychologist. And one day during a visit to New Orleans, 1960, he saw a white mob surrounding a six-year-old black girl named Ruby Bridges, who was kneeling in her starched white dress in the middle of it all to pray for the mob that was attacking her. And Coles decided to begin what would become his work for the next few decades, trying to understand how children and their parents come to terms with radical change, became his book Children of Crisis, which came out in 1967. Robert Coles said we should look inward and think about the meaning of our life and its purposes, lest we do it in 20 or 30 years and it's too late. It's the birthday of the poet and translator Robert Fitzgerald, born in Geneva, New York, 1910, best known for his English translations of Homer's Odyssey and the Iliad. He was classics professor at Harvard, and he liked to recite Homer out loud. And it's the birthday of the novelist Alice Childress, born in Charleston, South Carolina, 1916. She was a playwright, best known for her novels A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich and A Short Walk. Alice Childress, who said, "Life is just a short walk from the cradle to the grave, and it sure behooves us to be kind to one another along the way." Here's a poem for today by E.E. Cummings. All in green went my love riding. All in green went my love riding on a great horse of gold into the silver dawn. Four lean hounds crouched low and smiling, the merry deer ran before. Fleeter be they than dappled dreams, the swift sweet deer, the red rare deer. Four red roebuck at a white water, the cruel bugle sang before. Horn at hip went my love riding, riding the echo down into the silver dawn. Four lean hounds crouched low and smiling, the level meadows ran before. Softer be they than slippered sleep, the lean